talking about.
No, seriously, given all his history with machines, we know he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Only machines, John Bath.
Oh, why?
Some things never change.
Okay.
Which is amazing to me, since you were running around with, like, nuclear devices.
No, I wasn't. I was monitoring things, and we had a group of a
I wonder
bunch
how accurate those ratings were.
I was a great analyst. We had other people. We had a small group of people that each had a special.
Else's job it was to turn it on.
No, just shut up, all of you. Just because I scored 55 on the mechanical portions of the test.
There's some little girl in the paper this morning. She scored a perfect score on the SATs.
Well, there's quite a few doing
that's
that
cool.
lately.
That's just
probably cheated.
She said, "Gee, I never expected this.
I could have."
Romans 2.
Could you pass me a Bible?
Yes,
wait, you got one over there?
It's going to be this little thing.
I'm not even going to try to review what we've been studying. Let's just go. There's no respect of persons with God. We studied that. That literally means that he doesn't look at any aspect of your outward being. And that's confirmed. And there's neither Jew nor Gentile, bond or free, Greek, you know, male or female. No, but and this is the this verse. Next verse, verse 12 is it really? I spent months on this verse a long time ago when I first was a new believer, because it just didn't seem fair. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Now how can you sin without law and be punished for it because you didn't know it was sin? I mean, that just troubled me to no end, because I had thought law there, that was the law of God. And that's when it this whole thing that we've talked about many, many times really was, I could say God showed me, but anyway, it just crystallized and made this mystery of God universal instead of something that we. And that's the word nomos doesn't mean just the law in the scriptures. It means the way a thing works. So no matter what it is, we can never accomplish it. No matter what you conceive of, because you will always conceive more than you have the capability to do. And this is where this is what sin is. Sin is missing the mark. You remember hamachia? It means, it's a term used for archery, that if you don't hit the bullseye in the exact center, down to the micron, it's a sin. That's what the word sin means. And so if you thought of the archery, or thought of archery as the law, then missing it, missing the exact center, not even off by one micron, would be a sin. And it doesn't matter if the ideal from God's perspective is that perfection, then it doesn't matter how far off you miss. You can be really close, or you can miss the damn target. Either way, it's a sin. There's no relative, no sin. But our minds, we always settle for less than we had conceived of. And I don't care whether you're talking about in human relations or in your own ambitions or your own ideas of way things should be, it always happens that you can't achieve that which you've conceived. And so then it finally hit me, and that's the fruit of the fall. We cannot do, because we're not supposed to have conceived anything in the first place. Am I communicating? It doesn't matter whether you're in a tribe in New Guinea or in Wall Street. You will always accomplish less than you can conceive. You cannot do what you think. You can come close to it, And even if you, and the rarest occasions, like people that ace the SATs, when they do, it didn't bring them the emotional and the it didn't bring you, if there may have been an excitement, but quickly it leaves. So it's not just conceiving it, but it's bringing with that accomplishment what you thought it would. You can look at marriages, you can look at anything. You know, so that's why this, you know, this phenomena of the lottery winners. Everybody thinks, oh, I want to win the lottery. If you really looked at the people that won the lottery, you don't want to do it because they're all screwed up. Do you understand this? So this is universal. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. So it's you can't get away from it. It's not a matter of because this law, the Decalogue, Paul says in Romans 7 in a minute, it said that law is spiritual. So it's spiritual because that's what Moses saw. He saw the pattern. He was to do things after the pattern that he was showed on the mount. He was showed the fullness of Christ, of the Messiah in all aspects. And so, by definition, that's spiritual. But you must know from your own experience that this is true.
This is the fruit of being not God.
Well, it's the fruit of the fall.
I mean, God, if you can conceive it and achieve it and do it, you're God.
Let's go to Genesis 11 a minute. I think.
Would it be Genesis 11?
I think it is, but let me make sure. God just brought that scripture to my attention, and I wanted to...
I felt it too, brother.
Hallelujah.
Well, wait a minute.
Preach it, Rev.
No, yeah, we're going to go first to Genesis 11. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. When the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded, and the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they all have one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Now that's a heavy statement. And there's all kinds of, I'm not going to go through all the stuff about the symbology of what building the tower and all that meant, but the scripture, now nothing will be, what does it say? Now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. And so what happened? Let us go down there and confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. That's huge. I don't care if we both had the same exact twins, bringing exactly the same experiences, exactly the same education, you couldn't understand one another. Now why? Why is this true? Because God cannot have us be successful because of the cross, the curse. And so, but let's go even back further. Let's go to Genesis 3. Verse 22. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life, and eat and live forever. Okay, that outcome, if you look at the wording and language here, that outcome is so unspeakable that it wasn't even spoken. Why? Because of one thing. We know that Lucifer and his kingdom, it says that he was the first one to eat. He ate both of the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. And he was spiritualized instantly. Not spiritualized, taken into... He was spiritualized along with his minions, and he's locked in space without regard to time. But he can't make it to eternity. And so God had already tested this whole thing on the basis of that with Lucifer. And now, lest that too happen to Adam, therefore God sent him forth from the garden of Eden, he can't even get to the tree of life anymore. You got it? To till the ground from whence he was taken, and that's all we do. Every time we go, we make the sacrifice of Cain. We till this ground, and we have, it's just like trying to find a solution to whatever it is we're in, and we try to fix the ground and fertilize it, and we fertilize it with education, and we try to get it right. But we're tilling the ground, so the only sacrifice that we can make to God was the sacrifice of Cain. This is really important. So he drove men out of the garden, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. In other words, to keep man from that point forward out of the way of the tree of life. He can't get to it. All he can do is eat more and more and more of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now we could go to Genesis 4 and see the difference between the sacrifice of Cain and Abel. Cain's sacrifice was he tilled the ground. Abel's sacrifice was he killed the lamb. So you got this kind of, this stuff may be universal. It's not, our God isn't like isolated to Christianity. He's not isolated to, it's take every idea that you have and put it out of the box and let it be as far as you can take it. That's the only way you'll find out whether you're believing a lie. So without the law, if you don't make it, you die without the law. In the law, you sin, you're judged and die in the law. There's no escape. And all the stuff that we've studied lately just confirms it over and over and over and over again. So, and the whole purpose is to, so that you will know with everything in you, every neuron, every muscle and fiber and nerve, that the best you can do is empty and vain. And you then accept your death and live in that peace and joy of his life in you, the only hope and glory. As long as you got all these things to do and places to go and rivers to cross, da-da-da-da-da, then you'll never know this. Because you believe that the thing that you've conceived of is going to give you what you think you want. And it's never ending. Right.
And after Babel, it's the same thing is going on. It's just each individual is trying to build his tower rather than we're all cooperating building one tower, which actually might have reached to heaven. Now it's just repeated over in each individual. It's the same fruitless. I mean, if we, I actually, what I was thinking was, we're nothing compared to ants. Ants are much, much better.
That's what Job says, that we should learn from the ants.
I mean, they're able to put themselves aside and cooperate and create incredible structures.
Except the other kind of ants are fine, except the fire ants
are just
pure evil.
Yeah, the only thing you learn from them is you learn you need to kill them.
No, they have learned how to attack the giant white bean.
The giant white bean. So I was reading this thing.
The ice god.
This morning there was a serial little story they do in the New York Times Magazine, and one of the lines in it was, this guy saves another guy's life, and he thanks him, but the guy says, "I don't save lives, I just prolong their futility."
Oh, that's
the greatest line
I've
heard in a long time. Yeah.
But that's so negative.
Yeah, and it's also in that same vein, the idea of, you know, that if you get killed, somehow you become a hero if it's under the right circumstances. And so, you know.
That's how we convince other people to go get killed.
Huh? No, but I mean, you know, like in 9/11, the firefighters and the policemen that ran into the building to save people, they were the heroes in that context. But they call everybody that got killed a hero. Let's build this monument to the heroes of 9/11. Well, they're not. They weren't heroes. It just happened to... It's just goofy. And just got killed.
After we kill the ants, we'll make a monument to them.
You're missing the point.
Do they have fire ant farms you can get at a pet shop?
Just shut up about fire ants. I'm sorry I brought it up.
I'd like to raise fire ants.
Alright, back to Romans. Anybody have any expansions? Or
That story about Lucifer eating the tree of knowledge and good news, that was like a common story kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then you said it was spirit alive.
Well, they're no longer corporeal. They no longer have a body. They just now they're spirit. They just, but it's not good spirit. They're locked in they're locked in space, but they can move through. They can move. So they just,
they know stuff.
Or,
they don't show up here.
They're already in your brain there.
What?
As long as they know stuff over there.
Well, they can't. They cannot enter eternity.
I don't know what it is, but I'm feeling something kind of creepy. And it has to do with, you said there's only two wills in the universe, the will of God and the will of Satan. The idea that somehow, because I thought, what is it that why does Satan want us? What does he need from us?
He doesn't care anything about you.
Well, yeah, but the idea of there's only two wills, it's like all these beings are walking around kind of like as the fleshly body of Satan. It's like doing executing what Satan wants.
No, but they're doing, you got to remember, ha-Satan. In Hebrew, is the great opposer or the opposer. And so, and again, the opposition, this great opposition has to happen so that the perfect will of God is brought to perfection in each of us. And that perfect and good and acceptable will of God is Jesus Christ. But he has to be manifest in his church, in his body, in his bride, so that and each cell of that body has to experience that test to see again if there's any, and the way that test comes about is there anything that can take you off the mercy seat? Is there anything that can move you from peace and faith? And so that's the only function of the evil one, if you will, is to, he's not evil from God's standpoint because he's just doing the perfect will of God, but he thinks he's doing something really, really neat. Just like everybody else, you know. The whole purpose of the human race has sold their soul to Satan. They didn't get like all the comic book stuff for it. They got the illusion that they were the isolated self doing their own independent thing.
That's what I mean about the creepy feeling. It's kind of like when I'm doing something, what I'm really doing is helping Satan build his tower. Oh my
God. That's why, you know, there can't be anything that frightens you, like a movie or anything, unless there are receptors for it. And so the only reason that you get frightened about some movie or some situation that you can be in is because it reveals who you are and your whole lot. And so that's why, from the standpoint of fear, that's why it's the promise of God is that not even a sudden fear shall come upon you. And you know, as we talked about with Martin Luther, he had one experience where he saw Satan. He woke up from a deep sleep, and there Satan was sitting on the edge of his bed. And he said, "Oh, it's just you." Went back to sleep. So it's just, you know, when Paul accuses or says that you're believing the doctrine of demons, I mean, he's right. Any self-realization is the doctrine of demons. Anything that teaches you how to do and how to get and how to gain is the doctrine of demons.
Explains the popularity of zombie movies.
Well, are any horror movies, because it's why would anybody be stupid enough to want to go see a horror movie just so they can get scared?
Like John Boyd.
Well, it's because it reveals, there's got to be receptors for that somewhere. It's revealing something. The question is what?
No more horror movies for me.
Yeah, right.
Says something about Joe.
Remember, that's the whole thing of Ezekiel 8, where the Spirit brought him, or the angel brought him to the wall and said, "Dig." And he dug in the wall and he found a door. Well, the archetypal horror movie is, don't open that door. Don't go down that cellar.
But yet, they go down.
but
especially if you're watching it with a black audience.
But what you say is, "I would never do that." And the fact that you say you would never do that is the evidence that you won't dig and do what the Holy Spirit said, to dig in your own, that hole in your walls that you've created, to see the evil that's going on in your mind. So you can feel superior. Yeah, that's another story. We've probably wasted enough time here.
It's your fault.
No, it's John Bojo's fault. I don't know why, but it just has to be.
I agree.
You agree? I bet we could get a majority vote on it. Carolyn would vote. Take a big guy.